And welcome into My Car Guru. It's Friday.
It is Friday edition.
Yes.
We probably have some big college football. When does Tennessee play their first game?
Next Saturday, the 26th.
I saw a poll. They're ranked like 15th.
15th. Only, well, and I this is not a knock on UT because I'm a big UT fan, but only because the first poll came out, it had the Big Ten and the Big 12 teams included. Then the second poll came out, and because they weren't playing, they took them out.
That has nothing to do with it.
It has a lot to do
with it. No, it has nothing, because none of the Big Ten or Big 12 teams would have been ranked.
You think not? There's a little school in Columbus, Ohio, that probably begs
to differ. Think they might disagree with that?
I think they disagree on that.
I feel sorry for the Big Ten.
Well, they're trying to come back. They say they're going to play now, maybe starting October 17th or so.
Okay.
They've changed their mind, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
Who's in control?
Of what?
That.
Well, up to now, it's been the, and I guess it still is, the chancellors, the presidents of the universities, people like that.
Okay.
Have been in control of that.
Well, Tennessee, I think that the Southeastern Conference, they stuck to their guns, didn't they?
They did. They said, we're going to play. We're going to find some way to play. And
I guess that because of the power of the Big Ten and the Big 12, they thought that all the others would just follow their suit.
And that's the thing. And that's what the Big Ten made the mistake of. They thought, well, if we decide not to play, everybody would just fall in line. And the Pac-12 did. But the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 said, nope, we're going to keep playing.
Yep. So the Pac did? Pac-12?
Pac-12 quit playing.
What's Big 12?
That's Texas.
Okay.
You know, Texas.
Yeah, that used
Tech
to,
and all of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh well, I'm glad that it's just nice to be able to turn on the TV and see a football game, isn't it?
Yeah, even if it is the first week. What was it? The last Saturday of August, we had Slippery Rock playing somebody else or something. People were happy as they could be.
Well, I like the. I watched the Southern Alabama School of Auctioneering. Play, and it was pretty boring. I mean, because they play both sides of the ball.
They make bids for wins, huh?
Yeah, they play both sides.
Play both sides.
Loud mouth.
There's just 12 guys on the team.
One substitute at all times, and that was it.
No, he's the kicker.
Oh, okay.
He didn't even wear a uniform. He said, why bother? No, I just made all that up. So this is a different kind of show. We're going to, all of us are going to participate in some questions that the listeners may find semi-interesting. I'll give you an update. We are progressing quite well with our new Nissan showroom at Gateway. I'll tell you what, when you come down that big hill and you see, the first thing you see now is that huge construction. Isn't it weird how when things are far off like that and really big, they tend to shrink when you get closer to them?
Mm-hmm.
There's some type of a phenomenon there that I don't understand, but it's pretty big. It's a big deal. We've got all of our dirt level around it, and they're getting ready to pave around it now, and they got all the electrical conduits and stuff in. We have a roof. Doesn't leak anymore. We found a beam that we wish that it didn't end up where it did.
We got a couple beams.
What?
We
have a couple beams. So we weren't paying enough attention to the plans. But other than that, I'm kind of over that, Abby.
If you want a crash course in construction with absolutely no knowledge of construction, have a father that comes and goes from the dealership and a contractor with constant questions. Because I have been thrown into the fire making decisions and calls on different things with that. You're ringing.
There's a question now, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's my grandson was calling to do FaceTime. I hate to pass up on that, but, you know, sometimes you just have to.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we could do that with him on the show, but people wouldn't be able to see it.
That's right.
It is radio, after all.
And he might be calling so that you can play, horse.
Yeah, we did virtual horse. I told you about our virtual horse game.
Yeah.
Didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he had his phone set up against the wall, and I had my phone set up, and he has a little basketball goal, and I had a little basketball goal, and since we couldn't be together, we played a game of horse.
Virtual horse.
Mm-hmm. Virtual horse, and it worked out well. We had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're going to do this little questioning thing, and we'll start that just right after the break.
Hey, we're back. It's Friday. It's My Car Guru, and it's question time with Abby.
You know, all of our shows are so regimented and so disciplined in the way we do everything.
But
we never have random thoughts or go down
odd. I was going to ask you, what show have you been doing?
We never go down odd roads. So so we thought we would do something less formal. Right, Ab?
Right.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead with the stuff.
But it has to do with cars.
It does.
It's all car related.
It's all car related.
Yep. What was your first car, Tim?
1969 Chevrolet Impala, 354 barrel.
Mm. Two-door?
It was a two-door, yes, sir.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Because I remember the little latches on the back of the seat. You'd lift them up and
yeah.
Push the seat up.
I'm impressed.
My
did it fold down armrest or did it have a console?
It had fold down armrest.
Mm-hmm. That's good for the girlfriend. You know, you fold that back up, girlfriend sit right beside you, and you can put that arm up around her.
And not, you know, I didn't do any of that, surely.
No, surely not. No. I did. That's why I always wanted to drive my mom's Caprice.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had the bench seat and the fold down armrest,
yep.
And I could put my woman right there beside me and pop in the Mudslide Slim tape.
Mm-hmm.
James Taylor,
yeah.
Sing along with him. If I sang quiet enough, she thought that I sounded like him.
I think you sound like him. Actually, I think your voice is actually better than his.
Because
he has a very unusual voice. I love James Taylor. But
no, nobody beats James.
Sweet baby James.
But thanks, I mean, you're just saying that because you're my daughter.
That's not true.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the question?
First car.
First car, well, I didn't own it. Obviously, my dad gave me something to drive. It was a 1967 Plymouth Fury. Two-door. Had a good engine, 383, four-barrel.
Mm-hmm.
I could smoke the tires on it.
Mm-hmm.
Got sideways a few times. He never found out about it, though.
Well, I got my driver's license on, actually, 9/11.
Yes, you did.
You were with me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
2001, mm-hmm. on 9/11, I was getting my driver's license at the DMV. But my first car... that I consider my first car was a 99 two-door Honda Accord.
Which was a mistake on my part. I started them off bad. Let them drive something off-brand.
Okay.
I should have made them drive what I sell.
Yeah.
Because it led to a pattern of behaviors that later on haunted me.
I was the worst because I wanted used cars. My siblings both liked having new cars.
Oh, yes, but it had to be a BMW or
that
a Honda.
False. That is,
or
that
a
is
Land Rover.
Patently untrue. I was fine with my Honda, and he brought that BMW home, and he said, would you like to trade? And I said, well, yeah, but there was a little problem. The BMW was a 5-speed.
Yeah, and she couldn't drive one.
So I moved all my stuff over, and I said, well, I'll just I'll drive my Honda until you can teach me how to drive this. He said, oh, no, you'll get to school. You'll get there.
That's like throwing them in the water. Teaching
so
them
off
swimming.
I went, and I rolled probably 50 yards down the hill in front of Greenville High School trying to get up in the back parking lot, but I made it.
That's a heck of a way to learn, isn't it?
That's
just
probably,
throw them in the water.
Probably
the swim.
Probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they sink, though.
But that was like my second car.
Okay.
I mean, it was the second car. Okay, next question. A car, let's go with high school. On this one.
Mm-hmm.
A car that someone else had that you wanted.
One of my friends had the Camaro Z28, Lenny.
Yep.
And I thought that was just the coolest looking car, and I'd kind of like to have that.
Yeah, there was a guy named Dusty that went to Greenville High School, and he also had a 69 Z28 with a 302 V8.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my favorite cars at the time, and I was jealous of that. Another guy had a SS396 Chevelle with cowl induction. You know, remember that we'd give it gas and that little thing on the hood would pop up and
pop
down?
Up, yeah.
And then this other guy wasn't a Ford fan, but he had a Boss 302, which was a very, very hot car.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he could smoke us on our little races on Snaps Ferry Road.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My friend Stacy got a...
I was driving a Vega, by the way, at the same
no
time.
No wonder you wanted
a Vega station wagon.
She got a new Pathfinder right when the body style changed. I always liked Stacy's Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend Jenna drove a, do you remember her Cutlass?
Yeah.
The hoopty. Brown hoopty. Hoopty. Yeah. They didn't named go it in reverse. But it was really cool. I don't know what year that was.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that one was pretty neat.
You know, one thing that strikes me about our conversation here is you can tell the generation goes, you know, there's a generation gap because Lenny and I are talking about Camaros and Impalas and Bosses and all this kind of stuff, and you're talking about Pathfinders and
yes.
Hondas things like and that. All that. Yeah,
yeah. Junk. It definitely changed. The car you own the longest.
Oh, that's easy.
Go ahead. Which one?
Corvair.
Corvair.
65 Corvair convertible. I've had it for 25 years.
I guess the car that I owned the longest was probably one of the first ones I had. Probably the second. No, it would be the third vehicle I had, which was a Plymouth Horizon TC3. And I've told this story on our show in
the
morning.
That's like being in jail.
I know. It was the God's honest truth. The biggest reason I bought that car is because it was my initials, TC. That's why. And when it got, no lie.
What an egomaniac.
When that, like Henry II, right? When I got that, when that car got to 60,000 miles, no kidding, it literally started falling apart.
Oh, yeah.
And
they were designed to do that. That's called planned obsolescence.
The carburetor, and the mechanic at the time showed me this, the carburetor was mounted on cork. And so when that cork disintegrated, the carburetor just fell down into the engine.
That's cool.
That, you know.
And so did the cork.
Exactly. And but as far as owning it, you know, I kept it worked on. I had somebody work on it, and I had it for years and years and years, but it just, sometimes it ran, sometimes it didn't.
What was the Dodge? So that was a Plymouth?
Plymouth Horizon.
I called them Horizons.
TC3, yeah.
Yeah, what was the Dodge version of that?
Omni.
Omni.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plymouth Horizon, Dodge Omni. They were pretty much the same vehicle.
Sister cars.
Yeah.
Okay. Abby?
The longest car that I ever owned, I had a...
Land Rover.
No.
What?
You snatched that one from me as soon as it got out of factory warranty.
Tahoe.
Well, the Tahoe, yes, but I don't consider that. That's not a daily driver. I was thinking of my little turbo diesel Jetta.
Oh, yeah.
6-speed turbo diesel Jetta.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that for probably 4 years.
I should have kept
that.
I could have probably gotten $1 million from Volkswagen for the diesel scandal.
That was a neat little car, though.
It was a good car. That thing got...
I got about 45 miles to the gallon.
You got 50 once or twice on that thing.
Ooh, yeah. Good. But my 99 Tahoe I've had for...
Heck with emissions, if you can get 50 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, who cares? Mm-hmm. I've had that for a while.
Sorry, tree huggers.
Yeah, especially for that Tahoe. That Tahoe is not friendly to the environment.
Next question.
Next question.
Before we get in trouble.
The favorite car you've ever owned.
I really liked my, and I had a couple of these. In fact, traded one to you. Was the Mazda pickups, B2200. I have two of those.
Please.
I mean, I just like that vehicle.
Simple taste.
I just
like
it. I've always liked those.
They do. They did really drive good. What year was yours?
The first one I had was a 92, and this particular one I traded you was a 90.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Mazda trucks. You want to give your listeners an update?
Well, I had one stolen. My 87 Mazda.
Really?
B2200. Yeah, it was stolen off a lot up here in Jonesboro, and it was recently recovered.
Oh, okay.
With, there's three different places that the VIN number is stamped on the vehicle, and two of them had been changed and one of them wasn't. But my insurance company had already paid me off, you know, for the vehicle. So the sheriff's, the investigator said, "Do you want this vehicle back?" And I said, "No, who has it now?" And said, "A lady somewhere in the Tri-Cities has it." And she bought it innocently. And so we're going to get her a new title and get the VIN numbers fixed so that she can have a legal possession of the car. And I said, "That's fine with me. I don't care." But, yeah, I like the little B-Series trucks. We used to sell the heck out of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, we would sell anywhere from 15 to 20 a month just of the B-Series truck.
Yeah, they were good. Good vehicle. Aren't you glad I didn't say the Pinto was my favorite vehicle?
Yeah, yeah. I'd have to say my Corvair is probably the favorite car I've ever had. I know it's odd to say that to some people. I've never really been a muscle car guy. I mean, I had some. I had a 55 Chevy, and, you know, I've had old Camaros and stuff like that. SS Camaros and Corvettes and stuff, but I just like the way that motor sounds behind me. And, you know, it's a convertible. I like that as well. and drives good. Car came from Kingsport, sold new at Looney or Latimer Looney, whatever it was back in 65, and bought it from a guy who lived up in Fall Branch, and I think I'm the third owner. It's got 78,000 actual miles on it.
In my young driving ignorance, I drove it around for about 45 minutes with the emergency brake on.
Because
it's a tricky e-brake. So, sorry about that.
That's all right. I forgive you.
It did survive, though. Okay. And the car you wish you'd never bought?
The Pinto for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got recalled.
See, I've not bought a lot of cars, Abby. I mean, you keep them out of the car dealer.
Well, you've had
the franchise I wish I'd never gotten was Mitsubishi. I worked really hard to get that franchise, and then, you know, 3 years later, they have this, they start offering this special incentive called 000. So, zero down, zero payments, and zero interest, and zero payments, Tim, for a full year.
Zero payments.
Now, when a company has to resort to a plan like that to sell cars, you know they're in trouble.
Yeah.
And Mitsubishi went from selling around 350,000 cars. They were planning on going up to 500,000. They had this business plan. They went to 40,000 in a year, and ended up having to cancel the franchise. Now they're trying to come back. I know Wallace still has the franchise in Johnson City, but that was a so not really a car, Abby, but a franchise that I wish I hadn't owned.
There were a couple of vehicles, though. That Montero Sport, I've always loved the Montero Sport.
Oh, I liked them. I mean, I love the big Montero. I thought they were really cool when they stopped making those. And, you know, the Montero Sport was nice. The Endeavor, you know, when the Endeavor came out, we sold a bunch of those.
And Eclipses were so popular.
They were, yeah. There was a lot.
They were popular, but it was a costly thing.
Did you have some that you wish you hadn't bought or won?
I went from a Passat. I had a Volkswagen phase.
Yeah.
And I went from a Passat to a little four-cylinder Jetta. And I regretted that decision. It was like a sewing machine.
What a tragedy.
It was. And then I went to the the diesel one, which had a lot more power to it.
You poor thing.
I know. Hey, I was trying to make
my... the question.
I had to answer the question.
That's right.
So, I don't have a whole lot of car buying experience, but, you know, we all have things we wish we had.
But you do make your payments on time.
I make all of my payments on time.
I do not give my girls vehicles to drive.
No, you do not.
I did, but in their adult life, they buy them.
But that was balanced out. There were expectations of me for you to make my car payment, and that was... good grades.
Yeah, to wash my car every Saturday.
No, you didn't do that to me.
You never took over lawn mowing chores, though.
That was
not your thing.
Well,
yours
I didn't weigh enough to keep the lawnmower going.
That's true. She would try to ride. She tried to mow the
and
yard
the
for
seat
me.
Seat would come up,
but you know it's got that little sensor on the seat that if you come off seat, the mower would shut off, and she never could keep it running.
That happens to Christina, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's
my wife when she mows. But did you have
it? It was a convenient problem.
Yeah.
It was a convenient
problem. Yeah, I'm sure.
So. All you have to do is weigh less than 75 pounds and you're good.
It was 115 pounds.
Oh, okay.
So.
Never mind.
Was there one more question or am I...
No, that was it.
That was it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time to take our second break anyway. We'll come back and wrap things up. And we're back to wrap up not only this edition on a Friday, but for the week, My Car Guru with Lenny and Abby. It's been a lot of fun talking about our favorite cars and the ones we wish we hadn't bought.
Kind of reveals a little bit about our personalities too, doesn't it?
I guess that I bought a Ford Pinto and ended up getting recalled.
Well, you know, if you were a Ford guy in the 70s and you wanted an economy car,
that's what
you bought a Pinto.
That's what
you know. If you were a Chevy guy and you wanted an economy car, you bought a Vega or a Chevette. Remember the Chevette?
Yeah, those were tiny little vehicles.
I had a customer one time that I was a service advisor, and he put I think he got up real close to 200,000 miles on a Chevette. And what, you know, it didn't really amaze me that much that he got 200,000 miles on a Chevette. What amazed me is who would want to? Why would somebody endure that?
I'm going to tell on myself here, but I hope this person isn't listening because they might know who they are. But one time a bunch of guys, we got together and put this other guy's Chevette up on a sidewalk in Elizabeth in between two parking meters. That's how tiny that car was.
Yeah, it was pretty small.
Kind of like you could do with one of those little...
would not pass any of the modern crash test. You know, none of the cars would. You know, from the 70s, you know, the era when you and I grew up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 1983 before they put the first airbag in something. And that was Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an extra charge. Now we got airbags all around us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Protect our heads. And I saw them back then. Now are getting ready to come up with back seat facial airbags.
For back people. Of the headrest?
No, it pops out of the front seat.
Comes out of the
back of the front seat.
Wow.
And you get a facial, free facial.
Yeah.
And a bloody nose.
Just like at the salon. Yeah.
Inflatable seat belts. You know, we have seat belt airbags now. So, yeah, we've come a long way since I was riding on the armrest on my grandfather's big Buick Electra 225 going to the Rose City Cafeteria in South Charleston, West Virginia. And his favorite move for me was to throw the arm across if he had to stop real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Just move the arm.
You moved all my car seats over. You helped me move car seats this weekend.
Yeah, I was talking about car seats on the Monday show. We were talking about just how important that is and what an ordeal it is and what a fanatic you are as far as getting them in their right tension and stuff. And that's good. You're just being a good mama, and I wish more people could be responsible like that with their child car seats. So.
Well, we're out of time
on
this Friday, and that'll do it for My Car Guru. Been good to have you guys this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.